Good morning, Seattle. Good morning to all the humans on the East Coast of the United States. Good morning. Good morning to the people of the West Coast. It's still quite early, really. Good morning to the people living on all the peninsulas around the world. Whatever peninsula you live on, you're almost an island. It is Wednesday, December the 23rd, 2020, right around 3 a.m., technically 3:20 a.m. That's still fucking early. And you might be asking, Dan, why are you up so fucking early? Yeah, I'm kind of behind on podcasts, and I have a shitload of notes, and probably most of my notes are crap. I know that's a crappy attitude. It's a crappy attitude. I should have a better, shinier attitude. I should embrace the overlordship of the transcendental sacred priests of up the butt yin yang. Yes, indeed, I should accept the graceful destruction of our dark overlords. I should, if I was grateful. If I was grateful for the gifts. If I was grateful for the gifts of pain and misery and darkness and imprisonment, yeah, I don't know. I have some crappy notes for the 21st I was looking at. So, have you noticed, or have you ever observed the idea that there can be these really terrible science fiction movies that end up becoming TV shows? It happens. I didn't like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, with what's her name, Kirsten Swanson or Christy Swanson, whatever. I didn't like that movie when it came out in the 90s, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series, that was okay. Oh yeah, say what you will. But there was this really, really, really shitty science fiction movie that came out in the 80s, and I say shitty because it had all the potential to be a really great science fiction film, but it just was a big fucking disappointment. And the name of the film was Night Flyers. And I saw the film as much as I could, and then I stopped watching, or I fell asleep. It was that shitty, that terrible. It was a crappy movie. A crappy, crappy movie. And yet, for some fucked up reason, Netflix or whoever decided to turn it into a TV series. Ostensibly one season, because what's her name? Gretchen Mol slits her throat at the end, I think, or whatever. Or maybe that's just in a dream. I couldn't make it to the final episode. I had the horrible thought in my head that I was watching a movie, excuse me, a TV show based on a movie I hated. I hated that movie. I hated it. I hated that movie. Anyways, whatever. Next topic. Yeah, this is gonna be a shitty podcast. So, one of the ways that, in my opinion, one of the ways in which the mass mind control works is this idea of inserting contradictions. And just so you know, inserting contradictions is defined by the following. One week they tell you masks work. The next week they tell you they don't work. Then after that they say they work. And then a week or two later, masks don't work again. It's kind of like the whole Fauci thing and the canceling of Christmas. They tell you that Christmas is canceled, and I never said that. I just said you can't go and enjoy it with people. Don't know how that's different. I don't know how that's different. They said you can't enjoy Christmas with your family because you might spread the monkey herpes. They tell you that every emergency room and every intensive care ward is filled with patients. And then they show you TikTok videos of nurses dancing in what appear to be smocks not covered in phlegm or blood. But Dan, they can't use their bloody smocks for TikTok. You know what, though? They shouldn't be doing dance videos. They shouldn't be doing that. I'm sorry. There is nothing to celebrate. If this was actually an epidemic, if you had millions of people dying from the monkey herpes or the COVID or the Rona or whatever the fuck you want to, I call it the rounding error. Yeah, it's the rounding error. It's not the Rona. It's the Superman 3 virus. You steal the pennies. You steal the flu, you steal the heart disease, you steal a bunch of suicides. You add all those numbers together, and then you get the Rona. And then somehow, magically, there are no suicides, there are no car accidents, nobody's getting shot in the head. It's all Rona. One week they tell you Christmas is canceled. The next week they say, we didn't say that. The following week they say, if you went to a Christmas party, you just kill grandma. You just killed grandma because you wanted to be a human being. You killed grandma because you wanted to exist. You killed grandma because you didn't want your small business to implode. You killed grandma. That's what they will tell you. They'll say they didn't cancel Christmas, and then a week later they'll say, oh my God, super spreaders everywhere. Millions dying. These contradictions, these lies, and then the revelation of the lie, but then the reversion back to it again. This weird ebb and flow has a purpose, and it's really quite simple. In fact, if you've gone through 2020, you should be able to sense it. The purpose is to break down your ability to reason. The purpose is to basically destroy your critical functions as a human being. That's the purpose of all these weird contradictions, of all these weird paradoxical statements that don't make any sense. That's the point. They want you to get to the point where your ability to reason about the world is so flawed that you'll accept real big whoppers, like, don't worry about where your neighbors are going. What was it that Hitler joked about? He said that the Jews were going to Madagascar. I guess they could pull that one again. I mean, you know, don't ask where your neighbors are going, they're going to Madagascar. They insert contradiction after contradiction, lie after lie. They flip them over so that yesterday's lie is today's truth and tomorrow's truth is yesterday's lie. And you reach the point where you're just tired. And whatever bullshit they end up shoving down your consciousness gullet, you accept. It isn't true for everybody. Some people just get completely worn out. Some of us completely tune it out. To some extent, I've tuned it all out. You know, when the quote-unquote Rona was first an issue, I used to read the Zero Hedge rundown because I thought, you know what? Zero Hedge ain't perfect, but at least they're not that, right? At least they're not like CNN or Fox News or NPR. At least they're not total bullshit. In fact, you know what? I was a fool. Zero Hedge, for whatever reason, bought the whole Rona story hook, line, and sinker, and they continue to mainly push the fear. And whenever there's a question that comes up, it's mainly to say, ha ha, look at the people in charge. They must know that the hydroquinine works, the quinine works, whatever. They must have a secret cure. What if the simplest explanation is there is no pandemic? What if that's the simplest explanation for all the bullshit and all the hypocrisy? There is no pandemic. The reason why 1 week the mask works and the next week it doesn't and the week after that it does again, there isn't a pandemic, folks. That's the conclusion you should draw. Yeah. But you're not gonna... Why? There was a man once named Norman Borlaug. Norman Borlaug, who won the Nobel Prize. He won the Nobel Prize for revolutionizing agriculture, but I'll keep it simple for you. He won the Nobel Prize because he figured out how to pour chemicals on land. He figured out how to translate an abundance of hydrocarbon-based fuel at the time into food. And he did. He increased the amount of food production significantly, or at least his techniques did. And so things like the GMO crops, these are outcomes of the green revolution that Norman Borlaug put into place. The additional 4 or 5 billion people that were added since his work essentially became a part of the picture, a lot of that gets credited to the Borlaug stuff. The same people that gave Norman Borlaug the Nobel Prize are the same motherfuckers who at the time held secret meetings about how there's too many fucking people. Okay? The same people that gave the Nobel Prize to Mr. Crappy Food, Mr. Double the Human Population, are the same people who tell you there are too many of us. So what's the truth here? Is the truth that good old Norman deserved the prize? Or is the truth that there's too many people and that he probably didn't? And guess what? The Club of Rome folks and the people that hand out the Nobel Prize, these are basically the same groups of motherfuckers. They are. They travel in the same little subsets. So that's the riddle. Why do they do this? Why do they introduce these contradictions? Why do they constantly tell us A and B can't both be true? And then they flip A and B. They tell us one is true this week, the other is true next week. It's like I said, folks, it's not designed to do anything else than to break down your ability to see the world. That's it. The whole purpose is to break down your critical reasoning so you're confused all the time. And it also makes it easier to just insert whatever today's truth is. Hey, you've gotten used to it. You've gotten used to swapping out one truth with another, so let's just introduce a new one. And when I say truth, again, imagine sarcastic quotes, because I don't believe they're giving us any truth at all. It's more of a question of what they're feeding us and the contradictions and what that does to our ability to think about the world. Next topic. This one's a little bit about the being late on podcasting this week. I don't know. I've already talked about that. Have you noticed that almost every science fiction series now appears to have at least half British people, and all the landscapes are Canada? I know, you say, Dan, that's crazy. I've watched a lot of this science fiction shit. Every time they show Washington State or Seattle, it's really British Columbia. They'll say, hey, we're going to go visit Seattle. They're really visiting Vancouver. And they say it with a British accent. That's a weird topic. I had somebody, say to me recently, and I won't say how, could have been Twitter, could have been YouTube, could have been a phone call, could have been an email. You can flex your brain on the source of this. And it wasn't a good friend, it wasn't somebody I really know that well, but I had recently had someone tell me that they didn't get me. You know how they say, I don't get you, I don't understand you, I don't get you, I don't understand where you're coming from? Holy fuck. I mean, let's just get by the fact that, yeah, I've got, like, I don't know, hundreds of hours of podcasts where basically I say some similar shit every once in a while. I'm a fucking hermit hobo in Seattle. What is there to fucking get? How fucking sophisticated do you think this fucking box is? Inside of it is the same shit you'll find in most 50-year-old men these days. Really. Find your average group of 50-year-old men. I don't care about their race, their color, their creed, their religion. I don't give a fuck. You'll find some similar shit. You'll find some different shit. But your job in life, if you listen to my podcast or whatever else, is not to get me. All right? I don't give a shit. I really don't. If I wanted to create a podcast where I simply spent all day reinforcing people's positive thoughts and, helping them delete any dark negative thoughts, I would do that. I would have another mindfulness type fucking podcast, and I would talk to you about magical fucking frequencies and vitamins you can consume. And maybe you can go run 20 miles and somehow survive on your Trek bicycle going across the country. That's your fucking business. That's not mine. Your job in life is not to get me, okay? If you enjoy my podcast, listen to them. If you don't enjoy them, I'm gonna blow your mind. Don't listen. Anyways, I've already covered this bullshit. So I don't really know yet, based upon the news the news. I hate saying that word because I should say the propaganda. Based on the propaganda, I don't know yet if people are getting $600 or $1,200 or $2,000. I read that Trump vetoed the COVID bill, but it's really ridiculous. That bill was like what, 900 billion? And the bulk of that was going to special interests and really, really weird politically correct campaigns in places like Pakistan. Which, if you're a representative of the United States and your job is to help people in this country who are starving right now, whose lives are fucking falling apart, and if you don't think that's going on, fuck you, you're stupid. You can't see. You might be lucky. I don't know where you fucking live. Tell me about your packed restaurants and your packed malls. I remember your guys' fucking info a couple years ago. It was bullshit then, it's bullshit now. There's a lot of gaslighting going on, folks, just as an FYI. $600, man. What are you gonna do with your $600? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with your $600 for your what? You know what? Based upon pricing, that could probably get you a couple hours with a hooker, depending upon the kind of hooker. I think it'll get you a little bit of crack. I don't know how much. I've never had crack. I don't know how much cocaine it'll get you. Probably the stuff that has, mostly laxative, cut with laxative. $600, if it gets you cocaine, will get you the stuff that's cut with laxatives. Laxatives and baby formula, right? What do you get for $600? I don't know. Next topic. I'm gonna blow through these notes pretty quick because they're shitty notes. And I've already talked about this issue of scary truths, so I think I'm gonna move on. Keep going. So I keep seeing these people. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles before we go into this. If someone says, "I believe in science," it merely proves that they know nothing about science. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? If someone says, "I believe in science," it merely proves that they know nothing about science. Because, folks, science isn't about belief or faith. Science is not a religion. Science is a tool. That's what it is, a methodology. The scientific method is a tool one can use to understand the world, the physical world primarily. But it's not about belief. It's not about faith. It's not about saying, I have faith in science. Science is actually about asking questions. And classically, the scientist is a person who critiques pure faith and pure belief and actually looks to the facts of reality around them. Again, I'm simply explaining what science is supposed to be. So if someone says, "I believe in science," that's kind of a nonsense statement. It means nothing. It's a silly statement. You know what I believe in science is like? I believe in toasters. I believe in copy machines and toasters and hammers. I believe in machetes and cars and toasters and hammers and ovens. I believe in tea kettles. I believe in tea kettles and lasers. Folks, saying you believe in science is stupid. In fact, if all you're really saying is you believe there's a method called the scientific method and it exists, then even if it's basically a true statement that you believe science exists, it's still a statement that doesn't say anything. But if your real purpose is rhetorical, which is what it is, when some stupid ass fucking politician says, "I believe in science," what they're really saying is, shut up, and just believe what I'm saying. Shut up and don't critique any of it. Shut up and take this nasty shit torpedo and shove it down your mind gullet. That's what they're saying when they say, I believe in science. I believe in toasters. I believe in hammers. Whatever. You believe in science, but science is a tool, and there's no real import to saying you believe in it. It means nothing. It exists or doesn't exist separate from you. But what if you're really saying is this? If you're really saying this, we have to obey the technocracy. If they tell us something is true, we don't have a right to criticize it. That's not science. That's religion. And I'm a Christian, and I think you have a right to practice your religion, but at least be self-aware. You know, for all you mindfulness freaks out there, for all you mindfulness fucks, let's have a conversation about being mindful. Saying you believe in science, while in reality what you're saying is shut up and simply believe the shit I believe, is not a very mindful way of approaching this question. Not very self-aware. Kind of fucked up in the head if you ask me. Just saying. 600 bucks, man. Oh, I don't know. By the year 2026, I think I need an organ for this, maybe. By the year 2026, by the year 2026, let them eat cake will be replaced with let them eat grake. Yeah, let them eat grake. By the year 2026, let them eat cake will be changed to let them eat grake. What's grake? Spelled Golf Romeo Alpha Kilo Echo. What is grake? It's a food made of sand and diesel and broken glass and metal shavings and love. Grake will be on sale at the Chevron for $233.43 for basically a family meal night. Some grake will really turn your house into a home. Yes, get some grake. Mom and Dad, can we go to the Chevron and get a gallon of grake? Let them eat grake. $600. $600. What are you gonna do with your $600? You're gonna buy some grake? You're gonna go and take a trip someplace, maybe visit that old girlfriend that lives in Toledo? Now, I've never even tried cocaine or heroin. And so as far as like what I would do with the 600, I think I'd put it towards rent, obviously, although I'm not really sure that's going to make much of a difference at this point, because I'll still be behind. I think I'd do that. But when is this money even going to appear? Excuse me. Like, assume for the sake of argument that some fucking bill got passed today or tomorrow. When do you think that money gets to your account? Do you think it gets there today or tomorrow? I know Steve Mnuchin said, I can get people money into their accounts immediately. Well, I mean, Steve, we know you can do this for your friends at Goldman Sachs, but Do you actually have any fucking interest in helping the rest of us? You see, I don't really know for certain yet. I have theories, but I don't know for certain yet why they have been mind fucking us the way they've been mind fucking us. But it seems like they're trying to play a little dance. On the one hand, they're afraid of, the US dollar collapsing overnight. I mean, they've kind of prepared us in recent years for the idea that there's going to be one world currency, one world government, one world army, one world pope, one world religion. And so maybe that's what this is about, too. They can't do anything functional, okay? It's not like they can balance the budget. And it is ridiculously obvious. It should be, especially after 2008, what institutions get made whole. It's not that complicated, okay? If you're a commie front organization like Black Lives Matter, or I should say Banker Lives Matter, you're gonna get funding. You're gonna get funding from Bank of America, from fucking Nike. You're gonna get almost direct money, but it's more like money laundering. But you're going to get money through money laundering from the Federal Reserve. So if you're a commie, if you're a CIA op, if you're out there to fuck Americans, if you're out there to steal or harm Americans, you will get Federal Reserve money. But if what you want to do is, let's say, start a business or simply keep your small business from vaporizing, you're not going to get any money. I mean, it's really that fucking simple. And it's not that I think free money is good, it's not good. But I have come to accept this theory that whatever fucking shit you can get from that terribly diseased crocodile, whatever little bit you can carve back from it, because I, like many Americans, have been totally fucked. I mean, I paid into the system many years. Yeah, the last decade, it's been more spotty, but I've still been paying in, except for, the last year, right? But yeah, we paid in. We expected a payoff. We expected to retire. All of this is nonsense. None of this is going to happen. Okay? All of this has been canceled. They don't want to help you. And the reason for this kabuki dance is probably not because Trump likes you. It looks more and more like they're running out the clock. But what clock are they running out? Okay, I look at the last year and it looks like the fourth quarter of a football game. Every gimmick, every fucking play they can think of, every Hail Mary, every fucking ridiculous fucking hat trick or whatever bullshit. I know I'm mixing hockey with football, fuck you. Every fucking thing they think they can do, they've been pulling out because it looks like they're running down the clock. But what are they running down the clock towards? It's possible that it's the new world order reset. And you know what, guys? I think that's still possible. I still don't see how you reset Humpty Dumpty. And if you push things too far, if things really, really fall apart, I don't know how you keep this overly complicated neo-Stalinist society from pancaking like a really shitty Dutch baby. And I'm talking about the food, not, a living thing. But I don't know how you don't keep this frickin' honey puff pancake from flattening out. All right? Right now, a lot of hot air is keeping the system functioning. A lot of bullshit. But how much stress do you think this tired old piece of shit neo-Stalinist hellhole can take? If we were still a free society, I would have no concerns, right? There would be no lockdown bullshit. We might even have a free press. We might even have options to Facebook and Twitter if this were a free society. So I don't know, guys. I'm trying to process this as best I can and put it into terms that make sense to me. But what I see in 2020 is a lot of crazy, a lot of madness, and I don't believe any of it's been accidental. I don't believe the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, commie snake pit I got on, video last summer. I don't believe that was accident. That was planned. That was orchestrated. Okay? The Black Lives Matter bullshit is orchestrated. If you can't see that, I can't help you. So clearly, they needed to keep us confused for a year. But what do they do in 2021? Because I think a lot of people are suffering from adrenal fatigue. I think a lot of people are pretty much at, what they might have said in the olden days, like my parents, at their wits' end. At their wits' end. A lot of folks are candles burning at both ends. So I say once again, what's the fucking plan, Stan? Because if the plan is a great reset, I think, the body will be dead. And people will say, well, they want most of us dead. Okay. So how do they keep the 100, more or less 100 operating nuclear reactors in the United States from, getting into a terrible state? A fair portion of those are boiling water, which are dangerous, basically a dangerous design. And, a fair portion of those are really, really fucking old, which means their reactors are suffering from something called embrittlement. Oh, what is embrittlement, Dan? Well, shit, dude, I'm glad you brought that up. High energy radiation erodes things over time, like metal, like concrete, but mainly the metal is what we're worried about. So you've got this neutron radiation over time. It's going to take the reactor housing, the reactor tower, anything that's got metal in it, and that metal's going to break down. It's going to become actually brittle. And brittle's not good. Brittle means cracking. Brittle means breaking. That's what embrittlement is. And embrittlement is an eventual outcome for most reactor designs. Because again, neutron radiation being what it is heavy, very powerful, high energy radiation. It's one of the reasons why fixing Fukushima is so fucking hard. Between gamma rays and neutrons, it's pretty fucking hard to put a cap on that dragon right now. So if their plan is to kill a lot of us in the next 6 or 7 months, how do they keep this neo-Stalinist hellhole from pancaking? Because it's gonna pancake. If you start killing lots of people, it will fold in on itself. This is one of the outcomes of terrible ideas. They eventually fail. And the United States, since 1913, has been a progressively structured, overly complicated, neo-Stalinist pile of really shitty ideas. Really terrible, expensive, crappy, debt-ridden ideas. How does that end? Does that end with a big reset? What the fuck are you resetting at that point? That's all I want to know. All you fantasists, all you fucking weird people who think you're gonna ride your bike and mine Bitcoin. How the fuck do you think that's gonna work once this starts unraveling? You see, I get why crypto people believe in the Great Reset because it posits that, well, there'll still be magical technology working, Dan, and all my mining equipment still work, and I can do the counter economics. Fine. But I don't know who's going to buy your coins. There won't be that many people left when they're done with this. And if they really do intend to kill a bunch of people, shit's going to stop working. Okay, we are not machines. Okay, your computer might have predictable behaviors in a way. Your car might have predictable behaviors and a maintenance cycle. We're human beings, folks. When we break down, it's kind of unpredictable. And another thing, too, whereas a car that is smoking by the side of the road, in general, doesn't cause another car to basically break down. When our brothers and our sisters and our moms and our dads and our kids start to suffer under the wheel of this bullshit, It causes other people to break down, people who have compassion. I know I've been on Twitter enough to know there are a lot of motherfuckers who at least parade as having no compassion. None at all. But for those of us that have compassion, if we see a human being by the wayside in pain, that is a pain we end up taking because we fucking give a shit, because we have an understanding of the human condition. We're not machines, folks. So I don't really see the reset. That plan sounds stupid to me at this point. There's no way it can work, really. Not unless the ideal population is a couple hundred thousand people. Because this idea that, well, but Dan, they'll do a soft landing to 500 million. Yeah. Like that time they tried to land the Mars probe, I think back in the 90s, but there was a rounding error. And so it basically hit Mars going, I don't know, 10, 20,000 miles an hour. But that's government work, folks. So yeah, if you want to believe the government, quote unquote, whatever the government is to you, whether it's the deep state or the motherfuckers you think you vote for, if you think these people are sophisticated enough that they can manage human population, which means they're God, if you believe that, fine. That's crazy. Add that to crazy for 2020. These people may think they're God. Bill Gates believes, I think, on some level that he is a kind of secular God, but that doesn't actually make him all-powerful. If anything, that just makes him a fucking fool. You know what? I'm going to do one last topic for this list because this list is terrible. And this last topic is a quote from Dr. Freckles once again. The heart is a hand grenade. Yeah, the heart is a hand grenade. I wrote this the other day and you know, you're saying, well, Dan, what does that mean? The heart is a hand grenade. Because hand grenades explode, Dan. They're bad, Dan. Yeah. Sometimes it feels bad to have a heart. And this relates to that topic about compassion. I was reading a tweet this morning where the Twitter twit whatever said the following. What was it? I feel sorry for people that let 2020 impact their emotional state. That's a slight paraphrase, but that's essentially what it said. I feel sorry for people that let 2020 impact their emotional state. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel sorry for motherfuckers that would say something like that. I feel sorry for people that are that shitty. If you have gone through 2020 and you've had no bad days and only shiny happy days, God bless you. But if you've had all those great days and at the same time mock people who are in pain, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. You're probably a sociopath. And man, I've met one or two of you. Fuck you. That's what I would have to say. Fuck you and your bullshit. Fuck you and your belief that you're some type of super duper diehard human because you don't give a fuck about anybody. Okay? And if you say, well, I read Ayn Rand. You did? You didn't read Ayn Rand very well, you stupid fuck. The heart is a hand grenade. I'll tell you why. Because it would be easier to pluck out your heart, and especially in 2020. It would be so much easier to live like that piece of shit, mindfulness, quasi-Buddhist, shove a fucking knife up your a-hole craphead. I would love to be like that, to not give a shit. That would be great. I mean, I don't think it really would be great, because it would also mean I was a soulless fuck. But it would be great, wouldn't it, to pluck out your heart and throw it away? It would be easy, and it'd be a lot, yeah. It certainly, in other ways, it would be easier too, because then it's easier to just justify and rationalize however it is you need to hook your way for whatever bucks you can still make on the Death Star. It would be easier to pluck out your heart and throw it away. I can't do it. I can't. I don't want to. I don't want to because I can't see the palette of colors before me as being vibrant or real without my heart. As far as I'm concerned, the average sociopath piece of shit lives in a black and white world. Black and white, monochrome. And it's kind of crappy. Because all they ever see is an overly simplified reality of kill or be killed, an overly simplified reality like asteroids from the 80s, a flat world of simple decisions, kill or be killed, make money, fuck, take drugs, go to sleep, rinse and repeat. I feel sorry for the people that would say stupid shit like that stupid motherfucker on Twitter said. I feel sorry for people like that because they live in a black and white piece of shit world. And yeah, it sucks to give a shit. And it sucks to actually be concerned if your neighbor falls by the wayside. But at least it's Technicolor. At least it's real. At least you get every fucking color. Not just the special colors that make you feel all good and warm inside. Not just the euphoria. But every single color. All of the emotions that are out there. Yeah. The heart is a hand grenade. It's sarcastic. It's ridiculous. But it's true. It would be so easy if we could just pull it out and pluck it out, because every once in a while it drives us crazy, and every once in a while I think our heart does sort of trigger us to explode, because that's kind of how emotion works too. And I don't have any easy answers. I think one of the first things you should do if you're in pain and you have the ability to avoid it is to avoid it. So there's a rational thing to do with pain, avoid it. But what if all of a sudden, you wake up in an America where the entire place has been turned into a big concentration camp, and where people are playing the most demented, the most fucked up version of Simon Says ever? What do you do then? Where do you run to when the whole world is being suckered by this demonic bullshit? And again, there are simple answers. People, oh, Dan, you know, the vaccine will be a placebo. They need us. They need us. They can't kill us all. Listen, I don't know the motivations of these shitheads. Like I said, they live in a black and white world. I don't understand the stupidity of the narrow-minded realm within which they work. And they live and they exist. So how can I tell you what their fucking end goal is? I think it's as likely as not that something is about to happen, and I don't know what it is, that they know about it, and it's going to be so bad that what they're mostly trying to do is get the fuck out of Dodge and cover their asses. And I'll even go one further. This whole fucking Great Reset thing, and I know I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again. The Great Reset is another layer of propaganda, in all likelihood, designed for people like Governor Inslee, designed for people like the governor of Michigan or fucking Newsom, Newbin, whatever fuck, Gavin Newsom in California. The Great Reset is their mind cocaine, okay? They can see themselves as mandarins in the near future, overseeing the global populace. The Great Reset is fear for us, but it's a kind of drug for the people in power because they can believe, listen, they're going to be okay. They'll have their condos in the sky. They'll have their secret submarine bases. They'll have their underground bunkers and their pleasure palaces and their full supply of adrenochrome. This is what they believe. They'll have all the plastic surgery and all the genetic cures. And like Ray Kurzweil, if they make it to the 2040s, they'll live forever. Great Reset is a bullshit scam for the people who think they run the world. Because probably, in the scenario of the popping smoke and the getting out of Dodge, probably the people that really know, which the people that have evidence of what is going to happen, it's not a very big group. My guess is it fills up the fucking complex in Antarctica. And that's about it, and maybe a few other bases. But probably the group of people that know the truth about what's about to happen, probably pretty small. So they give this bullshit story. What's about to happen is the Great Reset. What's about to happen is the New World Order government. But what if what's really about to happen is a calamity? And you know what, guys? The calamity could very well be the collapse. Because I'm of the opinion that when terribly engineered, complex things fail, you often end up with really terrible outcomes. So it could be the case that the actual thing they're trying to pretend isn't going to happen is the collapse. And again, the reset story fits with that really well, because people want to believe their electricity will just keep working. And so even in the reset scenario, well, Dan, at least with the reset, I'll have electricity for my mining equipment. I'll have my smart device, which will now be inserted into my rectum. But at least it'll all work, Dan. The lights will still be on. Yeah, the lights will still be on. But what if that's bullshit? What if the reality is really quite simple? They have been fucking with us and fucking with us and fucking with us to keep us paralyzed. They have spun a story that keeps people mostly off the roads. And you say, Dan, why do you want to keep people mostly off the roads? I don't know. Maybe because they don't want a lot of dead people in cars up and down the highways of the U.S. It might be that fucking simple. And so this COVID lockdown bullshit has kept us in Christmas week almost since last Christmas. And it's Christmas week again. And now comes 2021, folks. So I don't know. The heart is a hand grenade. Maybe that's a stupid quote, but the point is really this. If you approach reality with any kind of emotional intelligence, right now it is painful. It should be. It ought to be a little painful. If you feel no pain at all, man, I don't know what to say. Maybe you're on a lot of Prozac or something, and maybe that's helping you out. Maybe you're microdosing LSD. I don't know what to tell you. But if you've been through 2020 and you've felt no pain either about your own condition, which is normal, or what's as important about the conditions of other people, if you've just been gliding through 2020 with just not a fucking care in the world, and then on top of it, you spend time on Twitter abusing people for fucking being in pain, you're just a piece of shit, man. That's all I gotta say. It's okay to be positive. I have some good friends who are really positive, but you know what they don't do as positive people? They don't go around beating up on people who aren't having a great fucking day. I've closed out this fucking topic. I've closed out this list of stupid items, and this will endeth the podcast for this one. I have a bunch of other fucking lists of notes I should go through, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know. Fuck. Thank you. It's Wednesday, December the 23rd, 2020, the eve of Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas Eve. You remember back in the day when you would, you know, I'll give you an example. The people that were told to go away to college, go away to the army, go leave the small town. Man, was that a bunch of gaslighting bullshit too, separate topic. But for those of us who would come home, we would have those feelings. Yeah, things have changed. Yeah, it looks like they basically pushed us out to swap other people in. But hey, at least we get to see old friends. There was at least that. There was this sense that you were going to see old friends, old family. You were going to see people. There was going to be some type of connection. Not on Zoom or Skype. Of course, back then, Zoom and Skype didn't really exist. Was our world worse for that? Were things more difficult because we didn't have Zoom and Skype? Were things more difficult because we couldn't carry our phone around every fucking place we went? I actually think things were better, actually. But feel free to gaslight me. Feel free, because I get gaslit every fucking day about how many protein cubes we have now versus 1970. Thank you, Norman Borlaug. Yeah. You guys have a good one.